All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, in our prayer of illumination. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the message. We thank you for our children. We thank you for all that are present here this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's present in our lives and is present in this chapel this morning. We thank you for the new year. We also thank you for the words that we are about to read in Scripture, as well as the message that has been prepared. Bless it. Help us to receive it as you see fit through your will and service. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message this morning comes from Matthew 6. It actually will go from 19 to 34. It's slightly different than what's in your bulletin. I'm in the New Living Translation, so bear with me if you're in another translation. Not much difference, but somewhat different. So we're going to begin at verse 19, and we're going to go all the way to 24. This is the teachings about money and possessions found in Matthew 6. Don't store up your treasures here on earth, Scripture says, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your hearts will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with the light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? Now, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God first and above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so back to today. It is New Year's Day. And it is a happy new year here at Bethel Presbyterian Church. Welcome back to the new year, our 277th year together. This year is set in motion to make for Bethel and its family and its friends history. Just in 12 short days, we will negotiate our transition. This year, 2023, will set in motion our history moving forward. So is this year important to Bethel Presbyterian Church in this community? Absolutely. As we embark into the new year together, let us step out on the right foot. Let us step out with Christ Jesus. Let us be in step with our Lord and Savior. In this morning's scripture, Jesus presents evidence that worry is irreverent, as it fails to show that we believe God is in total control. When we worry, we do not trust in God. As Christians, though, we believe that God gave us life, and thus He sustains our lives each and every day. If we believe this, why do we continue to worry? In this morning's scripture, we see Jesus sharing absolute clarity with us in these verses. In fact, He says that living for our personal gain will only lead us to great anxiety. Scripture teaches us that both materialism and anxiety are two enemies to our spiritual growth and spiritual health. In this new year, we should strive to grow more spiritually, thus setting aside the worldly desires that create our anxieties and bring worry to our homes and to our hearts. These two things aforementioned often lead us away from a balanced life. As we embark on a new day and a new year, we need to realize that the essence of our lives is not found in our personal possessions nor our personal wealth. The essence of our Christian life is found in complete trust in Jesus Christ. Because of God's blessings, we experience the love of each other and the love that our family and our friends bring us. By ourselves, we have no power to change our surrounding, nor can we change our future. But in Christ, with Christ, through complete trust in Him, surrounded by each one of us, our family and our friends and our Christian brothers and sisters, we have the power not to change tomorrow, but at least to influence tomorrow, both in our personal lives and in our professional lives, and more importantly, in our Christian life together. In today's scripture, we also learn that God promises each of us that we will be provided all that we need, God says, for He loves us and gives us His children, whom He calls His children, good gifts. This brings me to the story entitled The Empty Pantry. I don't know if this story is true. Brian is familiar with it as we shared it together this week. But it is a story about devout faith. Again, I don't know that it's true. But what I will tell you is that it is empowering and it's uplifting. And as a Christian, I thought it necessary to share with you on this first day of 2023, which will be history-making for this church, this community, and this family. So the story goes like this. There was a young lady who was trying to care and lead her family, and every day she went to the pantry to feed that family, and there was little to nothing on the shelves. She found herself trusting in the Lord, but yet not having enough food or provision to fully feed and take care of her family as she desired. Every day, she found herself on bended knee, asking God, please, please, Lord, fill my pantry. Every day, she would go back to that pantry door and find much of the same. And yet, through trust and confidence and love of Christ and patience, she would find herself on bended knee and saying to God again, God, please fill my pantry. This went on for days, maybe perhaps weeks. One day while walking home, as she arrived to her front walkway, she saw her porch full of goods, boxes of canned foods and provisions, that would more than fill her pantry. She walked up to the, but she actually checked her address to make sure she was in the right place. And as she walked up to her porch and realized that what she was seeing was real and tangible, she could put her hands on it. She fell to her knees and she thanked God for providing the food necessary to fill her pantry. She had been in prayer, devout prayer and trust that it would happen, and here it was. And yet she thanked Him. "Lord, You've done it," she said. "You've done it." And yet all of a sudden, unbeknownst to her, here comes her neighbor from around the porch, who was literally her neighbor across the fence from adjacent property. And he said, "See there, you believe in a false God. God didn't provide you the provisions found on your porch. He didn't bring you the boxes of goods or all the dry goods that you see. I did," he said. "I bought all of those things for you. I have listened through an open window in your kitchen where you have been begging God to fill your pantry. He hasn't done anything for you. You believe in a false God. You believe in a false God." He says, "I'm an atheist. There is no God. I filled this pantry for you. God hadn't filled your pantry." She continued to respond, "God, You've done it." The more she responded in that form and fashion, the more the madder he got. He said, "You don't understand. God didn't do a thing. I brought you this food." She said, "God, You've done it. God, thank You for bringing me the food, the filling our pantry. This will feed my family." The guy says, "He didn't bring in nothing." She said, "Oh, yes, He did. God, You've done it yet again. You've filled my pantry and You made the devil pay for it." Now, what do we learn from this story? What do we see out of this story? Friends, what does this story teach us? Well, what it teaches us, it simply teaches us that prayer and trust in God will provide all that we need. And likely, it will provide more than we need. It will actually take care of some of our wants. Which leads me back to Scripture today. When we learn to trust God, we have no need to worry. I said earlier, worry is irreverent. I say this because as Christians, we respect and trust God in our lives. Thus, worrying does not change things, nor does it help us cope with the problems that we face. In fact, Jesus basically says worry is irresponsible. He tells us in Scripture it's irresponsible for us to worry. It burns up our energy that should be used constructively to address the problem, to help each other, to love on each other, and be a solution as a Christian brother and sister. Jesus used the birds of the air to illustrate this very point. He used the lilies of the field to illustrate this very point. And He used the grasses of the field to illustrate our need to assess our human priorities. As we together and independently step out into 2023, we need to focus on what's most important. For if we do, all other things will simply fall into place. Our first steps make all the difference. Thus, we should make them count. We should make them count. This year, I want you to focus on your relationships. Now, I know some of you, maybe all of you, have decided that you will have a New Year's resolution in 2023. Maybe you have discussed it. Maybe it is private. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to toss it in the trash can. I don't care what it is, whether you're going to get a new hairstyle, you're going to look different, you're going to lose weight. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you said that you were going to make your New Year's resolution to be. I want you to toss it in the trash can. What I want you to do this year, in 2023, I want you to focus on your relationships. As we worship together this coming year and move ourselves forward as a family of faith this coming year, we will be forced to navigate whatever the world brings our way. We have no idea what tomorrow will hold, but what I can tell you is whatever it brings, together in Christ Jesus, we can conquer. The way we succeed is setting our priorities straight. I want you to get rid of those New Year's resolutions, and I want you to focus on your relationships. I want you to be on a good footing in 2023. Not that you were on a bad footing last year, but I want you to be foundationally ready for what 2023 brings and beyond. To do this, we need to focus on who we are and who Jesus Christ wants us to be. Now, we spent almost 6 weeks in celebration of His coming, and His glory is now here. Who does He want us to be? Who are we to be in 2023? Obviously, getting to know God in a personal way should be the greatest priority in our life. It should be the greatest priority in our relationship with each and every one of us. Look, think about it this way. If we plan to spend eternity with God, and I think all of us do, then it seems like best practice to get to know the guy a whole lot better this year than you knew him last year. After all, tomorrow isn't promised. Thus, not knowing the future, we must be right with God. We must have our relationship in trust with God, as we soon may meet Him face to face. I have no idea what 12:30 will bring, but 12:30 is coming. Understanding how quickly life goes and how short it truly is, let's make sure that we have our priorities straight. Speaking about our priorities, what are your priorities in life? When you got up this morning, what priorities have you set for 2023? What are your priorities for any given day, if I may ask? And what are your priorities for this year? If you haven't asked yourself that question, well, if you look at your watch, you're already a half a day behind in 2023. So if you haven't asked yourself that, you're already behind the eight ball. Let me help you out. Time has caught you this morning. In fact, it's caught us all. That's how fast it moves. If you blink your eyes, you will be present at the youth service on Valentine's Day. If you blink your eyes again, it will be July the 4th. And when you blink them again, it's going to be Christmas 2023. That's how fast time moves. You cannot wait. You have to act now. Scripture says in verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things you desire will be added to you." Seek first reveals Jesus' concern for our priorities in our life. This is Jesus speaking. He asks, He shows His concern for what's our priority in life. And He tells you this morning in Scripture, it must be Him. If you're going to be consumed in anything, be consumed in Jesus Christ. Again, verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." That's the promise of God, and that's the promise you have in this New Year's Day. God wants us to be Christians everywhere, and good Christians at that. I would be remiss if I did not say to you this morning, that isn't easy. In fact, it's hard. It's hard to be a good Christian. But God gives us the help that we need if only we will accept what He truly teaches us in the Holy Word. This brings me to my request that I have for this ministry and I have for each of you today. This year, on the first day of 2023, I challenge each of you personally to focus on your faith and your relationships first and foremost. First, with God Himself. And secondly, with your family and your friends alike. I challenge each of you personally to do this. Regardless of the pressures around you, focus on God first. Do as Scripture declares. Do as Scripture teaches you to do. Focus on God first. Make this focus your first priority this new year. Then I ask you to make your second priority be your service to God. Your service to God. Whether you're 8 or 80, I want your priority in 2023 to be your service to your Lord and Savior. Our service comes in many forms and fashions, but specifically, it is time spent with family and friends in Christ Jesus, both in this church and outside of this church. With that said, I wish to share with you a challenge, an initiative that comes from the pulpit this morning for the entire year of 2023. I want each of you to make a specific and intentional effort to invite your friends and your loved ones to worship with you. Wherever worship exists, whether you're visiting one time with us today and your home church is somewhere else, it doesn't matter. I want you to take this initiative and I want you to make it happen. You see, I had the privilege, along with 11 other people, 10 other people this year, to look at our roles and rosters as we begin to transition into a new Presbyterian denomination. And when you look at all those names on that list, well, the thing that bothers me is I don't see them here. All it takes for us to simply do is to bring an invitation, whether it comes from a personal face-to-face encounter, a phone conversation, an email, a text message, or better yet, a simple card inviting them to worship. Our goal this year is to bring our family back to Bethel Presbyterian Church and all the friends that exist with that extended family. Many of my friends and our friends are here today and they continue to come back and we are grateful. So I extend this invitation to you. Again, if you return, bring a loved one, bring a friend, bring your children's friends. We don't care how many people you bring. When we run out of pew space, we'll put chairs in the aisle. Bring them to church. Our doors are open. This is the house of God. And in 2023, she will be open for all of us to worship and love and share in His grace and His mercy. Scripture declares two priorities this morning. God expects us to work and live. But when we do this, we must center our lives around Him. And priority number two is that Jesus is teaching us here in this passage that following Him is the most important thing we do. If we do that, and in our hearts, through our invitation to our friends and loved ones this year, He will bless us tenfold. In closing, there are two simple rules that should govern our life as Christians. Two simple rules. As we forge headlong into this new year, let us set our eyes on the things that advance God's kingdom, number one, and contribute to the establishment of His righteousness. And together, we should go after these things, these two simple rules. And when we do, we will benefit because God promises us that He will provide all that we need. Through our trust and obedience, much like the lady on bended knee, we need to allow God to keep His promises. We need to allow Him to keep His promises. Remember, we try to control our lives way too much. We need to put God in the pilot seat. Let's take the co-pilot seat for once. If we put God first and ask Him to bless our endeavors, we will be successful in 2023. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will fall into place. That's God's promise. Let me close with a story about a fellow by the name of James L. Craft. This name may mean nothing to you. Some of you may know who he is, but I'm going to tell you who he is. He is the founder of Kraft Foods. One day, James shared a story where he professed his immense faith in Jesus Christ. James said when he was a young man, he had a youthful desire to be the most famous manufacturer and salesman of cheese in the world. He planned on becoming rich and famous by making and selling Simply Cheese. James began as a young boy with a little buggy that was pulled by his pet pony, or his pony that he lovingly named Pat. After making his cheese, James would load his wagon and his buggy, and he and Pony Patty would just drive up and down the streets of Chicago and sell his cheese. That's what they did. As the weeks and months passed, James began to become very concerned because he wasn't making any money. In spite of all his long hours, his hard work, and his dedication to a quality product, he was losing his shirt, so to speak. One day, James said he pulled Patty up. He pulled him to a stop and he began to talk to him just like a friend. He said, "Patty, there's something wrong here. We are doing this the wrong way. It's not right. I'm afraid we have things turned around and our priorities are not in order. They are simply not where they ought to be, Patty. We need to serve God and place Him first in our lives." James then tells that he drove home. He steered Patty home and made a covenant with God that very second that for the rest of his natural life, he would serve God first and he would only work as God directed him to do. Many years later, James Kraft said, "I would rather be a layman in the Church of Jesus Christ than head the greatest corporation in America." He further said, "My first job is serving Christ Jesus." Here in this story about James L. Kraft, we see the promises of God fulfilled. Seek first the kingdom and everything else will fall into place. If you don't believe this story, just take a trip today following worship to the grocery store and head down the aisles. Most every aisle will have a product of Kraft Foods, but especially the dairy aisle. You will see that putting God first makes all the difference in the world. James Kraft said, "By my first job, my singular first job, is serving Jesus well." How about you? You're halfway through the first day of the new year. What is your first day of 2023's priority? What is your first job today in the new year? On the first day of this new year, who will be your priority? Who will be your priority in the entire year of 2023? Here's what I'll share with you. If you want a successful new year, if you want more success than you had last year, put Jesus first. In doing so, bring your service to God. Pull up your bootstraps and go to work. 8 or 80, it makes no difference. Serve God first. And through the glory of God, His kingdom will be revealed into you by bounty. More bounty than your pantries can hold. It's your call, not mine. I wish you the happiest of New Year's and the most successful year yet. What I will share with you from the pulpit this morning is if you desire the same, put God first. And I again call upon you to bring a friend to church, make an invitation, and share in the gospel of Jesus Christ in the very place that our ancestors have built. In this 277th year, Bethel and her people and her friends await you. Happy New Year. Amen.